British Sky Broadcasting presents the film Best Man in Grass Creek, a comedy film about love and marriage and how the two can sometimes seem so separate. Audio described by Martin Lachlan on behalf of MCS Agency.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head?
Starring Grace Phillips as Holly, John Newcomb as Adam, John Hines as Jimmy, Oksana Fedunshin as Dee Dee, Michael Beatty as Lester, and Tim Farmer as Wally. A love-struck production by Porchlight Entertainment. Music by Deborah Lurie. The film was written by John Newcomb and John Hines.
My life is gonna be beautiful.
A history of marriage through the ages is portrayed by a succession of wedding photographs and video clips. The fashions of the 19th and 20th centuries in pictures, coupling the smiles and joyous celebrations of brides and grooms as love leads them to the church and to tying the knot.
Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head?
More pictures of weddings and the associated paraphernalia. Bouquets, champagne, top hats, confetti and church bells. The details that go to make up what should be the most memorable of days. The dress suits and the beautiful gowns are just reminders that standing at the altar in front of friends and family will always leave an indelible mark on one's memory. In the middle of the Illinois countryside, there is the small town whitewashed church of Meadow Lake. Cows are grazing around the graveyard, and the scene looks like a picture postcard of Midwest America. Inside, the congregation have been gathered for a wedding for some time, in the oppressive heat. They all look glum and bored. There is no sign of a bride. Adam, the groom, is sweating, but is obviously refusing to surrender all hope of seeing his future wife.
Maybe we should take a break.
When prompted to call it a day by his father, he steadfastly refuses to give up. Outside, the food is already laid out and drying in the intense sunshine. Chicken legs, sandwiches, corn on the cob, all going to waste. And blowing in the breeze, there's a pile of paper napkins printed with the proclamation of Adam and Cara's wedding. A car speeds into Meadow Lake and raises dust as it skids to a halt and pulls up at the church. The congregation raise their heads in expectation, and the organist perks up at the welcome sign of the bride. The church door swings open, and a girl appears, silhouetted against the bright sunshine. It's only a bridesmaid. The disappointment and tension is palpable. Every face in the crowded church watches in trepidation as the bridesmaid walks the full length of the aisle, bearing an envelope, one which they all just know bears tidings of doom and gloom. She approaches the troubled groom and hands him the envelope. He tears it open and reads the simple message. Adam, I'm sorry. Cara. Adam turns the page, not believing that the ruination of his life could be worth just four words. The bridesmaid's sorrowful face says it all. She is sympathetic, but unable to help. The sea of faces look agonized. One man stands and hesitates for a second, then walks to the door. It's a sign for the rest of the congregation to perform a mass exodus and head for the fresh air, most of them unsure of how to act and even reclaiming their presence as they leave. Adam watches in horror, wincing in anguish as every detail is sinking in and probably scarring him forever. Outside, the cattle have eyed up the food long enough, and their combined bulk, pushed against the picket fence, breaks the only barrier between them and a good nosh. They trample through the wedding feast, toppling the trestle tables and devouring the cake. It is 3 years later, and Adam is a nervous guest at the wedding of a friend of his new partner, Holly. He trembles and sweats like the wedding phobic he is, obviously still haunted by his personal trauma.
Marriage is a sacred bond, a celebration of love. And it is in this spirit that I turn to you. Do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife, to have and to hold, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, until death do you part?
I do.
And do you take this man to have and to hold, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do you part?
Adam's nausea is complete, and he flees to be sick.
I do.
What?
I do.
Oh, well then I now pronounce you husband and wife.
Adam's disappearance has concerned the bride, and she questions Holly later.
Good, ladies. Now, let me get just one more.
I hope he's all right. He sounds awful.
One more.
Was he sick earlier?
All right, now, everybody smile.
He'll be fine.
Nice big smile. That was a good one. Good one. Oh, here. Just readjust this.
Maybe it's something he ate.
There.
Or something upset him.
Hold it. Oh.
Holly escapes the photographer and her friend's awkward questions and goes to find Adam, who is recovering by a waterfall in the elaborate church gardens.
Hey.
Hey.
You feeling better?
Yeah, I'm feeling much better.
Oh, good.
Whew. Well, it was a beautiful ceremony, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I thought it was perfect.
It was almost perfect.
Hi, guys.
I was thinking maybe tell him I ate a bad melon.
Just one? Oh, wait a minute. You already used that one at Heidi and Shane's wedding.
No, I told them I had the flu.
No.
Hey, guys.
You had the flu at Matt and Aaron's wedding.
No, I said I was allergic to something in the church.
They got married on a boat.
I got seasick.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
Well, I gotta tell him something.
Maybe it was the long drive.
There you go.
Hi, Adam.
Hi. Hey.
You okay?
Carsick.
Back in L.A., Adam's at a sales meeting.
Good attitude.
Good results.
Bad attitude.
Bad results.
Great attitude.
Great results.
Right.
Right.
You have to decide before you make that call. I'm going to make this sale.
Yeah.
Before I meet that editor, I'm going to make this sale.
Yeah.
Right.
Everyone enthuses about the comic strip cow.
So, is everyone pushing Creature Corner?
Yeah.
It's a great comic strip.
Yes.
I want to see it in no less than 200 newspapers by Christmas.
Yes.
Now, come on. We can reach this goal if we warm ourselves by the fire of enthusiasm.
Yes.
How are you coming on the sales contest?
I got a meeting with Jimmy Bowman.
Rumor has it that you haven't sold Creature Corner to a single paper.
I'm the original Dairy Queen. I'm just having a little trouble getting blood out of a turnip.
Adam! Sit down.
The manager calls Adam to him as everyone else leaves.
So, did you talk to Jimmy?
Yeah, I talked to him. We're gonna have lunch next week.
Oh, good! That's an important sale. That can bring a lot of money to the syndicate.
I know.
I'm gonna have Josh meet with Jimmy Bowman next week.
The Midwest is my territory.
No, it's not. Not anymore.
What?
Yeah. You can have North Dakota.
North Dakota? How many newspapers are there in North Dakota?
Quit.
What?
Don't make me fire you. Be proactive. Quit.
Look, Rod,
you're the only one not selling Creature Corner. I could put your last month's sales report on a 3x5 card, Adam. Are you listening to the tapes?
Jimmy Bowman likes me. Okay, he's in town for an NCS convention. The timing is perfect. This is my territory. This is my sale, and I'm gonna make it.
Wow. And if you don't, North Dakota.
Adam and Holly are at home.
Jenny's wedding invitation arrived.
Jenny's wedding?
Yeah. I thought we could drive up the coast. You know, it's the first time since we've been dating all my sisters are together. You get to meet the whole family.
So soon?
Adam, we've been dating a year and a half.
No, I mean, we just went to Samantha's wedding. Now we gotta go to Jenny's wedding.
Look, I understand your feelings, but, you know, you might not be able to avoid weddings forever.
No, I just want to space them out a little. Like every 20 years, maybe.
You think you could ever live in New York?
I love New York.
Doug called from the AP wire desk in Manhattan and offered me a transfer. It wouldn't be a field job out covering stories, which is what I prefer. It's a desk job, but it would be for a lot more money.
You don't want to live in New York. I mean, New York, it's expensive, and it's so crowded, and it's dirty. And
you just said you loved it.
I do, but that was before I thought you were going to move there. Honey, you'd go crazy without your garden. And this house, you know how much a house like this would cost in New York City?
Would you consider moving there with me?
If I can't move to New York, honey, I mean, my whole world is in L.A.
I thought I was your world.
You are. And I want my world to stay here.
I don't have to decide right away. I've got until a week from Monday.
Adam looks despondent at the prospect of change. Later, at another crazy sales motivational meeting... The sales team are barefoot and walking on burning coals. Josh, the top salesman, does it easily. Adam is unprepared, but is cajoled into jumping onto the coals anyway. He stops moving and his feet start to fry. Next day's telephone sales are in bandaged feet.
Well, what about dropping the Terwilligers? That's a dog. Number 3 in the survey? I think your readers need to get out a little more.
A cowbell is rung to denote a sale.
Who made the sale?
Josh.
Josh smirks at Adam.
No, but it's a very cute script. I mean, it's classic. Well, there's nothing new under the sun, Lloyd.
More days and more calls.
Well, what about the cow? I mean, the cow is a great character. I mean, this is classic. Like, I'm the real Dairy Queen. I mean, that is funny. Nancy? Adam Lewis. Hi, I'm fine. Hey, listen, I sent you a promotional kit on Creature Corner. Right, you got it there. Yeah, it's cute, isn't it? A little farm theme.
After days of failure, he has no fight left.
Okay. Kiss your mother with that mouth?
He pulls a noose around the promotional cow's neck and strangles it, then swings it around his head in frustration. Adam skips into his sales meeting with Jimmy with a one-track mind and a bag full of cow merchandise. Jimmy resembles a geek, and Adam tries to steamroller him into a sale.
Jimmy, this comic strip has got endless possibilities in licensing. I mean, the greeting cards right now are selling like hotcakes. We've got coffee mugs. We came out with a line of t-shirts. Look at that, isn't that great? Oh, that's a great one. Look, she comes out of the barn and she says, I'm the original Dairy Queen. This summer, we're coming out with a line of plush dolls. I've got a prototype right here.
The cow still has Adam's noose around its neck.
Isn't that cute?
Holstein.
Jimmy is not at all interested.
You still sing Holly?
Holly, yeah.
I met her last year in Chicago.
Oh, right.
She's a reporter, right?
Yeah, good memory. Hey, did I tell you the LA Times bought Creature Corner?
No.
Yeah, Denver Post, too. Did you get a chance to look over the other promotional material I sent you?
I'm seeing someone.
Neckties.
What?
Neckties. We put out a line of neckties featuring the Creature Corner characters.
Nice.
We're very excited about Creature Corner, Jimmy.
Do you have plans for this weekend?
Not sure, why?
I'm getting married.
You're kidding, wow, so it's pretty serious.
And I'd like you to come.
You're kidding, wow.
I'd like you to be my best man.
Best man?
I realize it's kind of short notice of being Tuesday and all.
Tuesday? Well, Jimmy, I mean, we barely know each other.
Remember Chicago? My first convention, I just got promoted to features, and I was nervous, and you encouraged me.
Well, I'm glad. But best man, I mean, I couldn't do that.
Look, I'm desperate here.
Well, I'm honored, but...
I mean, if a guy can't find his own best man, he looks like a complete loser.
Adam looks trapped in the dilemma.
You can't find anybody else, Jimmy?
I mean, I'm in a real pickle here.
I'm sorry.
Tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. You help me out here, and the Indianapolis Star will buy Crappy Caper.
Preacher Corner.
Right. We'll pick it up for $500 a week, starting the Monday right after I get back from the wedding.
I'm not the best choice.
You'll get a commission on every sale Sven makes overseas, with a 2-year guarantee. You get paid whether they run it or not.
What would I have to do exactly?
Nothing. Hand me the ring. I'll take care of everything. Tuxedos. I'll even get both plane tickets because, of course, I want Holly to come too. I'll even write the toast.
Look, can I think about this?
The wedding's this Saturday. I mean, I go back right after this.
Adam's phobia takes hold. He's in the restroom washing his sweating brow with cold water when a flashback to his wedding day and the dairy herd eating his cake hits him. At the table, Jimmy is playing with the cow merchandise.
Sorry.
Jimmy loses control of the battened ball and nearly hits a waitress. He flusters like a naughty child, then sees Adam returning to the table. Adam slowly takes his place opposite Jimmy, a steely resolve in his eye.
Okay, I'm your man.
Jimmy looks as pleased as a puppy.
Well, all right!
I have my own tuxedo, by the way.
At the sales meeting, Adam rings the bell. Later, his best friend helps him pack.
I haven't made it through a wedding in 3 years.
I'm over that.
Oh. Well, when did that happen?
When Jimmy asked me, you know, I realized I was letting that whole thing hold me back. No more. And I said yes to being his best man. I put all that behind me.
Good. Good.
Adam holds the tuxedo, and his mind is immediately dragged back to being jilted at the altar again.
I wouldn't rule out packing some Dramamine.
Believing he's a reformed character, Adam visits a jewelry store to buy an engagement ring for Holly. Later at home, he finds his newfound confidence is endorsed by listening to motivational tapes.
The male resistance to intimacy and commitment is directly related to his early dependence on the female. If a woman breaks through this resistance, his attachment to her will be profound. In mapping out our journey to success,
he smiles to himself as he holds the ring, then sees Holly arriving at the door and leaps up to greet her.
Hey.
Hey.
How are you?
Good.
Later, they are preparing dinner.
Anyway, if he buys the strip, I can make more money on that one deal than I made all last year.
The Indianapolis Star? They can't have that big a circulation.
No, but Jimmy's also a sales rep for one of those international syndicates, the Sven Company. And if he buys the strip, I get a commission on every sale they make worldwide.
Wow.
Adam hides the ring on a ledge under the table. So when the candlelit dinner is over...
Can we talk about something? We've been going out a year and a half now, right?
Yeah.
And recently, I've started to sort of ask myself where all this is going. And, because we haven't talked about the future in a long time. And I was thinking that, you know, it's time.
He secretly grasps the ring.
That you and I...
He quakes.
That you... started an IRA.
He chickens out.
An IRA?
because I was talking to Zach about it, and he was telling me all of the benefits of it, and it sounded really, really good. It sounded like something you'd be interested in.
She looks crushed, and he hides the ring again.
You want some more wine?
No.
He gets up from the table, embarrassed and shaken. The next day, he sadly returns the ring to the jewelers, his head hung low, very conscious of his frailties. Finally, they are packing for the airport.
What time's the flight?
Not until 10. Adam likes to get there early.
So we can watch him build the plane?
Hey, where's the gift?
He's paying me to be his best man. I didn't get him a gift.
We still have to give him a gift.
Where are they registered?
Let's just get him something at the airport.
What's she like?
I don't know.
Okay, what's her name?
I have no idea.
You're gonna be the best man in 24 hours, you don't even know the bride's name?
Listen, I barely know the groom's name.
The journey across the states takes its toll. After a long flight, Adam and Holly hire a car and set off through the vast wheat fields of Indiana. The further they drive, the deeper into a rural wilderness they travel. The only signs of life are farming-related and a far cry from the hustle-bustle of their city slicker lifestyles in L.A. After stopping at a gas station for fuel and some much-needed directions, they take to the roads again, deserted apart from a solitary tractor. They finally enter Grass Creek, and Adam, already nervous and drawn, frowns even more as he surveys the cemetery by the side of the road. They pass the Grass Creek sign with the legend, "The Little Town with a Big Heart." But as they cruise into the main street of the tiny community, a massive banner is hung across the road proclaiming in giant letters, "Grass Creek welcomes Adam Lewis." Adam steps out of the car in disbelief as Jimmy and his bride arrive in a pickup truck.
You made it! Hey, great to see you!
Hi, hi!
This is Dee Dee.
Nice to meet ya. Did you get lost?
Hey, follow us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jimmy turns his truck around. After exchanging incredulous glances, Adam and Holly follow them out into the backwoods and eventually down a dirt track to a rambling old ramshackle house standing alone in the middle of nowhere, Jimmy's family home.
Nice to meet you. I'm Adam.
You look great.
Hi, Holly. I'm Dee Dee.
How are you? Hey, Jimmy. How are you?
Welcome to Indiana.
The pleasantries over, Adam and Holly look stumped.
Jimmy tells me you were roommates in college.
Adam looks dumbfounded.
Oh, what year did you graduate?
Same as Jimmy.
Oh, what fraternity were you in?
Same as Jimmy.
I wasn't in a fraternity.
Neither was I.
Jimmy is now nervous.
You're kind of small for a football player.
Are you guys hungry?
Yeah.
Everything's ready.
Yeah.
Gosh, yeah.
Starved.
Yeah.
Mom's made her special.
Yeah, come on. Come on, I'll take you in.
Oh.
Dee Dee grabs Holly and leaves the two men alone.
A football player? Okay. I told her you were my best friend.
I thought you grew up together.
Told her you were my best friend in college.
Why?
Well, Dee Dee wanted one of her brothers to be the best man, and I wanted you, and I had to smooth it over with her.
Jimmy, you just asked me to be your best man. This was not the deal we made.
You're 100% right, and I'm 100% wrong. It's only for today and tomorrow.
Adam looks all around as if searching for an escape route, or at least a good excuse to leave. But under the earnest gaze of Jimmy and his childlike innocence, he caves in.
All right, all right. Where'd we go to school?
Purdue.
Adam and Holly are sitting uncomfortably around a dining table with Jimmy's farming family, simple folk, so simple that Grandad has his dentures soaking in his wine glass next to Adam.
Manchester says he's only got half his corn picked.
That's because it's wet.
We had a really wet summer.
We had a wet year.
Too much rain.
A lot of rain this year.
It's been terrible for rain.
Miserable.
Says you'll be lucky to get half of what's left by first snow.
After dinner, I'm going to take Adam and Holly and show them around Grass Creek.
Oh, great. Yeah. That'd be nice. Thanks.
Grandad takes his teeth out of the glass and fits them in his mouth, much to Holly's consternation.
You went to school together?
Purdue.
Right. We went to school together.
Jimmy says you were quite the football star.
Well, I never thought I was that good, really. I was just a mascot.
Mascot? Jimmy said you won the Heisman Trophy.
Both Adam and Jimmy gulp.
Well, it was a special category.
He said you would have gone pro if it hadn't been for the accident.
Well, I thought about it.
At least you saved all those children in the school bus.
Jimmy stares wide-eyed at Adam to play along, but Adam is too shocked to respond anyway.
Does it hurt?
What?
The shunt in your head.
Sweetheart, maybe we shouldn't talk about the accident.
They lapse into an uneasy silence, with Adam cursing his decision to be there. Worse still, though, Grandad is growing animated.
I met Holly for the first time a year ago in Chicago.
Chicago!
City of broad shoulders.
Right.
One dark night when people were in bed, old Mrs. Leary lit a lantern in her shed. The cow kicked it over, winked his eye and said, there'll be a hot time in the old town tonight.
Thanks, Grandpa.
Jimmy says you two just got engaged.
Congratulations.
Adam, and particularly Holly, look shell-shocked and embarrassed.
That's wonderful.
A woman can throw out more with a teaspoon than a man can bring in with a shovel.
More wisdom from Grandpa.
Where's your ring?
Adam searches for an excuse.
But she doesn't wear one, actually. Well, we don't believe in rings. Well, we believe that marriage and commitment is in the heart and that you don't need an external sign to prove that you're married.
Adam talks himself into a hole as Holly fumes.
California.
Jimmy's comment on strange LA customs falls on stony ground.
Excuse me, Jimmy, where is the restroom?
It's right through the kitchen.
When nature knocks at either door, do not attempt to bluff her, but haste away both night and day, or health is sure to suffer.
More rhyming advice from Grandad is almost the last straw, and Adam ends up splashing cold water on his fevered brow in the restroom. He and Holly then go to confront Jimmy outside, while the woman folk gossip indoors.
He seems nice, pleasant, but fidgety.
Jimmy, what is going on?
I had nothing to do with this. Jimmy sprang this whole thing on me when we showed up.
He's right.
But it's not fair. We don't even know these people.
I wanted to make you guys look good.
Okay, but the Heisman? Once I started making stuff up, I just kind of got on a roll. I know, but why did you tell him we're engaged? You two should get married. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. You're not married yet, Jimmy. I've never
been with Jimmy and Dee Dee show Adam and Holly around the barn, with Jimmy awkwardly holding a basketball.
We used to have cows. Now all we got is the hay. Hey! Oh, hey!
Jimmy tries dribbling the ball but falls on his face.
I used to have to milk them twice a day until my dad got rid of them. We couldn't compete with the big dairy farms like Dee Dee's folks got.
Oh, I see.
So, that's when I went to Purdue, got my degree, and applied at the paper.
Nobody thought he'd do as well as he's done.
You did.
Aw.
Jimmy hugs Dee Dee lovingly.
How long have you guys been engaged?
5 months.
Oh, great.
How long have you been engaged?
We just got engaged, actually.
Yeah, just, oh. So, Jimmy, do you miss being a farmer?
Yeah. My uncle was born in the living room of his house, and he didn't spend his first night away from home till he was 48 years old when he went up to Detroit and got married.
No kidding.
And he was only able to do that because he just sold off his cows, too.
Oh, that is depressing.
Well, you gotta milk cows twice a day.
No, I mean that after 48 years, the first city you'd see would be Detroit.
Adam's witticism leaves Dee Dee looking puzzled. Later, they are all four out in the truck, speeding through the vast fields of grass.
So beautiful.
Show them a new blacktop on Main Street.
Dee Dee proudly presents a newly laid tarmac road surface, a major event in Grass Creek, and they stand to inspect it.
Nice.
We got 70 milking cows. Each one puts out between 50 to 100 pounds of milk every day. Oh, you know what? You'll get to meet my brothers. They're milking right now. Here we are.
They arrive at Dee Dee's family farm.
Troubles in my time. Tasted butter, wasted wine. Found it's time to draw the line. I've come to ask if you'll be mine.
The arrival brings mud-splattered workers from all directions, including her two obese and comically waddling brothers, Jeb and Leo.
As you fill me with desire.
Cousin Holt?
Hi, that's me.
Adam.
Hi, I'm Wally. How are you? Nice to meet you. Pleasure.
Mom and Dad.
How are you? Very
Adam
nice
and Holly.
Nice to meet you.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
My brothers?
Hi.
Hi. Jeb?
Hi. Nice to meet you guys. How do you?
Jeb spits peanuts as he speaks.
You're a football player. I've lost a lot of weight.
Slimmed down though. A lot. Yeah.
I guess.
He then stares unceremoniously at Adam's head.
Which one's your glass eye?
The right. The left.
Looks so real.
Amazing what they can do now, huh?
I guess.
The whole family is intrigued and staring now.
Pop it on out of there for a second. Let me have a look.
I'd rather not.
Come on, play with it a little bit. Come on.
Oh, come on.
Take it out and let's see.
Come on.
Yeah, pull it out.
Just for a minute.
Yeah. Oh, come please.
I can't.
Jeb looks personally affronted that such a simple request as handling his glass eye should be refused. The tour continues without Dee Dee.
Dee Dee's a baby and the only girl, so our family's very protective of her and they're always telling us what to do. I mean, it's not like I don't like her brothers. I do. I wanted to choose my own best man, that's all. Mm-hmm. It felt like if I didn't put my foot down here, they'd just be running over me.
Well, sure.
So, what'd you think of her?
Oh, she seemed great.
Nice, yeah.
Real nice, yeah.
She's changed my life.
What was it like before?
I was self-conscious. Shy. Lacking in the social graces. But the love of a good woman, you know. Dee Dee's helped me burst forth from my shell.
That's great, Jimmy.
You dated a lot?
Nope, she's first.
Their tour takes in the main street of Grass Creek, a deserted and sun-baked road with two closed shops and a garage on one side.
Coffee shop. Most of these little farm towns were built around the grain elevators, but when the train stopped coming through, Grass Creek just sort of went by the wayside. Used to be the barber shop. Grass Creek's an Indian name. It means small stream in a field. Garage.
Used to be?
Oh, still is, yeah.
They've walked the whole 80 meters of the main street, and they stop to survey it.
Want to see it again? Whole other side of the street.
Adam hears crying, and as they cross the street, he looks back and notices a mechanic in the garage mysteriously sobbing. Jimmy enters a shop and leaves the couple standing outside, bored, rigid.
Throw a stone across this town.
You could spit across it.
Holly points out a doddery old couple down the street.
There's you and me in 40 years. You think you could ever live in a small town like this? I mean, not this small, but like regular small?
Better than New York.
Look, he gave me first crack at that job. If I don't take it, he's going to give it to someone else.
I haven't forgotten. Have you thought about it much?
I feel like I'm being passive about it. Like I'm just waiting for something to make the decision for me.
Well, where does that put me? I mean, I feel like if I tell you you shouldn't take the job, it's like I don't care about your career. And if I say you should take the job, it's like I don't care about us.
Adam, you know we're more important to me than this job, but I want to have kids and stuff. You know, I thought you did too.
I do.
Well, when?
Real soon.
What are we waiting for?
You give Dee Dee my best now, Jimmy. All set.
All right.
Jimmy walks off without noticing Adam staring poignantly at a solitaire ring in the shop window. The peace, tranquility, and slow pace of life is a world away from Adam and Holly's life in LA. The farming continues around them at such a slow speed that it hardly seems to be moving at all. They stop near Dee Dee's farm to take in the air and watch her brothers at work.
So beautiful here.
Yeah.
You okay?
Yeah, fine.
You seem kind of edgy.
Yeah, I always bug out in the country.
Pace is different.
What pace? Every time I'm in the Midwest, I always feel like I'm trapped in the middle of nowhere. Isolated. Abandoned.
Thought you'd only been here once before this.
She realizes he is reliving his wedding day again.
Maybe it's good we're here then. Maybe you need to face your fears. Maybe you need to get over them.
Oh, I'm over that. I just don't like the country.
It's so flat.
That was 3 years ago. It's in the past.
If it's still affecting you, it's not in the past, Adam. It's in the present.
Adam is distracted by Jeb being clumsy.
What are you doing? Why are you... What would you do that to a brand new calf for? First day on the job or something. No.
They turn to go.
Licking off miles down highway.
They visit the church, a small whitewashed chapel out of town.
What a sweet
church. Oh, wow. This is great.
Why is there a boar's head on the wall?
I don't know. Jimmy said the VFW meets here. Maybe that's their corner. So the transfer is more money? How much exactly?
Twice what I'm making now.
It's warm in here. Is it warm in here?
Later, everyone has gathered for the wedding rehearsal.
Then I'll say, will you love her and cherish her till death do you part? And you'll answer, I will.
I will.
Now, I'm saying, will you?
Will you sounds like, will you take out the trash? I will.
Sweetheart.
Adam dreams his nightmare wedding again and gets the shakes.
I don't think it's a big deal.
Not a big deal. Our wedding vows, not a big deal. That's a great way to start a marriage.
The rehearsal drags on, with Dee Dee nitpicking all the time.
Okay, so after the lighting of the candles, we'll exchange rings. So at this point, I'll turn to Adam, who has the ring.
No, I don't want him to have the ring.
What?
It's too distracting. It draws attention away from the bridegroom.
But that's what the best man does.
That's his job.
Adam's come all the way from California to hand me that ring. I mean, that pretty much sums up his job description.
It grows dark, but still the details are discussed ad infinitum.
Maggie will sing the wedding song. While Jimmy and I kneel here.
Adam is in a daze now and fantasizes about his friends mocking him after being jilted at the altar. He then hallucinates and sees Holly dressed in a bridal gown and veil. He faints and collapses in a heap on Jimmy.
Hey. You okay?
They place him in a chair.
Hey, what happened?
I don't know.
Look at him. He's dripping. The man is as sick as a dog.
I need to talk to you, Dee Dee.
The sobbing mechanic barges in.
Lester!
I need 5 minutes with you alone.
Jeb looks menacing.
Dee? Tell your brothers we need to talk!
I'm not talking to you, Lester. It's over.
Dee Dee!
Why can't you get that into your head?
It's Dee Dee's ex-fiance. He's been making a lot of noise lately.
After all we've been through, I'm asking for 5 minutes.
Get on out of here, Lester.
5 minutes, that's all.
This ain't the place, Lester.
It just ended so sudden. I need closure, Dee Dee! Come on, let's closure!
It's Dee Dee's turn to look shocked as Jeb and Leo drag Lester outside.
Won't leave us alone.
The brothers return after disposing of Lester.
Oh, he got his closure.
Okay, so during the wedding song, we'll kneel here. Oh, Jimmy, don't forget. I don't want you wearing your glasses during the ceremony.
Okay, these have all the promotional kits in them and the mugs.
Is the cow the only creature?
I don't know, actually.
I'm the original Dairy Queen.
There's a market for it.
Yeah. So, Jimmy said you led chapel service back in school.
Uh-huh.
But you decided not to go into the ministry?
Well, I just didn't get the call.
It's not easy being a minister, especially in a small town like this one. They can't afford to pay me much. That's why I still work the farm.
Well, his wife just left.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, it all started when she got into community theater. I even encouraged her. I bought her a set of masks for the living room. One happy, one sad.
Oh, right.
She loved them. Yeah. Then she got the lead in South Pacific.
She's real good.
And she wanted to move to Logansport. I said, I can't. She began to resent the ministry. Then I found out about her chummy relationship with Victor, the director of South Pacific. And it all... me.
Wally chokes up and runs off.
I led chapel service?
That night, everyone eats together in the smartest place in town, the House of Gravy, where massive plates of meat arrive swimming in thick, viscous gravy. Every meal looks identical, a sea of yucky-looking goo, more like mud than gravy. As everyone tucks in, Adam and Holly try poking the food, but it is glued together and won't budge. As if the food wasn't bad enough, Adam and Holly suffer the pain of having the family take turns to move round and sit next to them as well.
Is this brown gravy or mushroom gravy?
Hey, when'd you get the braces?
On a Monday.
Yellow and green.
Yeah, John, your colors.
Jeb is now eating Adam's dinner.
I know the secret to good marriage. All them divorces that's happening out where you folks live and stuff all over the place, I could save them. Because I know the secret to a good marriage. I know the secret to a good marriage. You just gotta remember one thing. One thing. There's another person there.
I'm not married. Don't intend on getting married either. See, dating is like free market. You got competition, that's good, because that keeps the prices down.
More homespun wisdom from Dee Dee's cousin, but Jeb hasn't finished either.
You go to the store, get you some Cheez-Its, some diet root beer, something like that. You gotta remember there's another person there.
Let me give you some advice, kids. You're engaged, you're in love, and that's good. But about 6 months down the road from now, you're gonna roll over and look at each other and say, who the hell is that? And that's the day your marriage will begin.
Are you gonna eat that, ma'am?
No.
May I?
No.
Thank you.
Jeb is still eating and preaching.
You're going to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. You're going to make all kinds of noise, rolling over, making clocks go off, and you're going to leave the seat up. You got to remember one thing. There's another person there.
Yeah, we discussed having kids, and I thought that 3 would be about the right amount, and Dorothy thought she'd like to have 4.
How many did you have?
7.
Oh.
Jeb devours more gravy and pork and prods the air with his fork.
You gotta remember one thing.
There's another person there?
There's another person there!
Holly can't stop herself laughing at the buffoon.
Well, that's good advice.
I know the secret to good farming, too.
Later, at home.
Even though we grew up together, we didn't really meet till last year. I saw her do Little Mary Sunshine, and I knew then and there. Wish you guys could have seen it.
Oh, that's great.
She had more lines than anybody.
Jimmy brought me flowers before every performance.
Wally's wife was in it, too.
Yeah, that's so sad. She was in the chorus.
So where are you guys going on your honeymoon?
A bed and breakfast in Gary.
There's a bed and breakfast in Gary?
Dee Dee got this great book, Traipsing Around Indiana, and it's got all these great little romantic hideaways in it. You'd be surprised.
So are you guys going to live in Indianapolis?
What did you tell him?
I didn't tell him anything.
I'm sorry.
That really upsets me. We're going to live here.
In Grass Creek?
Great.
Dee Dee wants to be near her family.
Your family, too.
So you have a long drive to work. That's not a big deal. How far is it?
1 hour.
It's not an hour.
LaVon and I clocked it.
Yeah, but you're going 90.
It's 1 hour.
Jimmy denies it under his breath.
What? You're calling me a liar?
I didn't say anything. Did I say anything?
You're doing that thing. You know, that room where I hate when you do that because, you know, it's demeaning.
Well, I hate it when you exaggerate.
I clocked it.
Dee Dee, it's 97 miles distance. You can't do that in an hour, driving 65 miles an hour.
Well, excuse me, but I didn't bring my calculator.
Dee Dee looks daggers at Jimmy. The crush sends them running outside, but the obese brothers are jammed tight in the sofa.
Dee Dee!
It's lovesick Lester again.
Hi, Dee Dee. Listen, I'm real sorry about earlier. I lost my temper, and my counselor is telling me I gotta watch that. You see, I'm in therapy now, Dee Dee.
The brothers are now free.
I'm working on my issues. Just
Lester,
like you said.
Come on!
I got abandoned.
Please, just go away!
Lester, you get the help! Swear to God!
Whoa! The father was either angry or absent. Hell, Dee Dee, most of the time he wasn't even around!
Lester, you need to get the help!
It's okay. It's all right. Dee Dee, listen. I'm learning to let my inner child have playtime now. Woo!
Adam leads Jimmy indoors.
Jimmy, listen to me. This lunatic is going to show up tomorrow. I guarantee it to you.
No, Lester's not dangerous. He's just upset.
Worse. The guy is desperate.
Look, I've known him for years. We were in the 4-H together. We shared a pig.
What? He doesn't want to share the pig anymore.
This is between Dee Dee and me. Just take it easy.
The boys grab Lester.
Little shit, aren't
you? I learned to contextualize my pain.
I'll contextualize your pain.
I can't believe this. I don't know what's wrong with him.
Why are you defending this guy?
Because I feel sorry for him.
Well, don't feel sorry for him, Jimmy. This guy can ruin the most important day of your life.
Well, what do you want me to do? Hire a cop to stand guard at the door of the church?
Just listen to me!
The boys punch Lester.
Oh, gosh, this is terrible for you.
Yeah. Okay, Jerry, thanks. And we're counting on you. Okay, bye-bye.
He obviously needs to resolve this.
No, he needs to grow up.
He'll get 2 off-duty police officers out of uniform. He says if Lester shows up, no one will even notice.
Great.
Sounds like he does this every weekend.
Well, I better get to bed. We'll marry tomorrow. Yeah. Good night.
Much later, all is calm, and Adam pops into Holly's bedroom.
Hey.
Hey.
How's your room?
It's great. I hope Jimmy didn't put anybody out.
How are you guys getting on?
Jimmy's room looks like he still lives here.
He lies beside her on the bed.
Hey, help me write this toast, will you?
Okay. What you got?
Jimmy and Dee Dee. That's it.
That's very sweet.
Yeah, I didn't get very far. Jimmy and Dee Dee. Jimmy and Dee Dee.
Well, you got that part down.
Help me.
Okay.
What if I say, if anybody told me a week ago I'd be standing here?
No.
Jimmy, I remember back in school when you were so drunk.
No!
I just don't know these people, so
We must know something about them. I mean, we did spend a lot of time with them today.
Yeah, Dee Dee, we're real glad you didn't marry Lester.
Oh, God, I feel so bad for her. The last night she used to worry about is her ex-boyfriend. Okay, how about you start with an old proverb or saying or something?
Oh, okay, that's good. Okay. Like something about marriage. Like, what's a saying about marriage? Like, marriage is really good.
I don't think that's a real saying.
No, I mean, a saying that means
marriage
is good. They scratch their heads and think.
Marriage is good.
Both look baffled.
Why do people get married?
Exactly.
No, I'm asking.
Why do we always have to talk about our relationship? Why can't we just be in it?
Adam, where did that come from?
I thought you were... I'm sorry.
You thought I was what?
Nothing. I'm sorry. I just thought you were...
I'm gonna go brush my teeth.
Honey.
Holly stomps off, angry and frustrated. A few minutes later, Adam goes downstairs to find her. She now has a mud mask on her face.
You're just not ready.
What?
You're afraid of committing to me.
Honey, I'm not afraid of committing to you. You know that. You're the one.
I can't plan for the future. I don't know if it includes you or not.
It includes me.
I just can't wait for you to get over this thing any longer. Look, Adam, I love you. But if you don't hurry up, I'm gonna move on, and you're gonna end up like Lester. Good night.
Her kiss leaves his bemused face covered in mud. In the bedroom he is sharing with Jimmy, he climbs wearily between the sheets.
Good night, Jimmy.
Good night.
He lies staring at the ceiling.
I just can't wait for you to get over this thing any longer.
His mind returns to his wedding day and to being left alone and weeping in the church after everyone had left. The old minister shuffles down the aisle to sit with him, a glass of milk and a plate of food in his hands. Adam refuses the refreshment, but takes a paper napkin to wipe his eyes. He reads the inscription, Adam and Cara's wedding, and cries again.
Son, I know you won't believe this, but... someday you'll meet someone new. And you'll fall in love again. And you will get married.
Still in bed, Adam notices Jimmy is wide awake and staring at the ceiling too.
What's the matter?
I thought you were going to throw me a bachelor party.
Oh, Jimmy, I wish you did.
I didn't want to spoil the surprise.
Jimmy looks tearful.
All my life, I never had so much as a surprise birthday party. I thought for sure I'd at least have a bachelor party. Dee Dee's brothers wanted to do something for me, but I said no. You're my best man.
Jimmy, I feel awful about this. Dee Dee's brothers wanted to do something?
Yeah.
You know, maybe we better lock that door.
The brothers barge in and carry Jimmy off.
Look, I got a big day tomorrow. I gotta get up early. Hey! No! Hey, get up! No!
Adam dresses and follows the kidnapped groom. Not much of a bachelor party. The boys now have Jimmy trussed up in the truck and heading out into the wilds. They stop, dump him on the ground, then begin stripping him naked. They leave only a small sack for covering his modesty.
Come on!
As the truck disappears into darkness, Jimmy clutches the sack for comfort. On the truck, Adam has doubts.
Come on, you guys. He's getting married tomorrow. Let's go back and get him. Come on. Let's go back and get him, huh?
The boys have now stripped Adam as well and left him wedged in a tall hot water cylinder. Adam turns to Jimmy and glares at him, his eyes burning with indignation as his face pokes crazily through the hole in his metal prison. Jimmy sets off for home and Adam follows as best he can.
Hurry up! Okay, this is the Chapman place, so that puts us about 6 miles outside of town.
The sack and the hot water tank make slow progress through the fields, but Adam develops a new line in pep talks.
Well, this is it. Your last night as a single man.
Yeah, that's right.
You want to back out, now's the time, Jimmy.
No way.
This time tomorrow, you're going to be a married man.
Yeah, I guess that's
You'll
right.
You'll be two instead of one. Tomorrow you say yes to one woman, and no to every other woman on earth.
I guess that's right.
Yep. After tomorrow, if you're at an office party and you're telling jokes and you're on and you're feeling sexy and there's some woman looking at you across the room and you're thinking, man, I gotta get a date with this woman. It's not gonna happen. Yep. Tomorrow you make the big choice. And who knows? I mean, you know, there's no guarantee it's going to work out. Anything can happen. People change. She might decide one day she just doesn't love you anymore. Yep. Once you take that vow, you give her all the power.
Jimmy looks suitably depressed. Hours later, it's dawn, and they reach habitation. As the sun comes up, they steal clothing from a washing line and dump the hot water tank. They scramble home and collapse, exhausted, into their beds. Just in time to get up. Over at Lester's, a sore and drunken figure lies in bed, stroking an old picture of himself and Dee Dee. Lester tries to lift up his head, but collapses back into the pillows. Not only is he heartbroken, but after the beating he took from Dee Dee's brothers last night, he probably has broken ribs too. The two plainclothes policemen arrive at the church early and check a photo of Lester as their target. they leave the car, and after stopping to light a cigarette, they prowl ponderously to the church, regularly checking comically over their shoulders for signs of subversion. At Jimmy's house, Holly sits alone and dejected at the breakfast table, deep in gloomy thoughts about her future and how weddings seem to bring out the worst in her partner. Right on cue, Adam stumbles in to join her.
Hey.
Hey.
He kisses the crown of her head and slumps down beside her and then notices her depressed look.
What's the matter?
It's just this house. It makes me so sad. Just sitting here looking at all this stuff, wondering if I'm ever gonna have a home like this. You know when you're 18 and you think you can have everything? And then you get a little older and you realize maybe it's not all gonna work out the way you planned.
She cries, and Adam silently absorbs the effects of living his life under the shadow of his painfully aborted wedding. Later, he's in his tuxedo and trying the motivational tapes again.
Resistance to intimacy and commitment is directly related to his early dependence on the female. If a woman breaks through this resistance, his attachment to her will be profound. If she leaves him, the effect will be life-shattering.
He stares one more time at the four-word note of apology that Kara had written 3 years ago, then heads for the service. At the church, Wally rings the bell enthusiastically, while inside, the two policemen are still zealously suspecting everyone as the congregation files in. A nervous-looking Jimmy and Adam survey the church.
Morning. See those guys? 1918, Battle of Belle Isle Woods.
World War I?
Not too many World War I veterans left.
No, I'd imagine that's a reunion right there.
Congratulations.
Hi. Morning.
Jimmy tucks his glasses away.
You all right? Yeah, I'm great. Phoebe's great, isn't she? Isn't she great? Yeah. She's great.
Jimmy tries to convince himself by repeating how great Dee Dee is, but he looks petrified and turns to follow Adam to the altar. Holly takes a place in the congregation amidst the crowded pews. The two war veterans begin playing piano and clarinet, and from the back door, six bridesmaids make a formal entrance down the aisle, one scattering rose petals on the floor before them. Everyone stands as Dee Dee enters alongside her father to make a slow procession towards the altar. She is smiling broadly and wearing a long white dress and lace veil. Holly looks on and can't help feeling choked with emotion. Dee Dee finally approaches Jimmy and beams ecstatically at him.
Dear friends and relatives, we are gathered here today before God to witness the bonding of these two souls in holy matrimony. Who gives this woman away?
Her mother and I does, too.
Jimmy's face is dripping in sweat and his eyes and mouth are wide open in fear. Adam now has something other than his self-pity to worry about, and he stares with concern at the quaking groom. Outside, the two policemen are bored with keeping guard.
I first met Jimmy when Dee Dee was doing a play with my ex-wife. Little Mary Sunshine.
Wally suddenly recalls his ex-wife, and everyone watches him fight to control his emotions.
Jimmy was at every show, as I recall. And once she opened him Bye Bye Birdie, it was Bye Bye Marriage.
Jimmy looks even worse.
What can we learn from this? To hate musical theater? Maybe. But more importantly, that life is uncertain. No matter how thoroughly we prepare or how diligently we try to protect ourselves, anything can happen.
Jimmy jumps and races like a madman for the door, then disappears. Adam quickly gives chase.
Nobody move! You'll be all right.
Dee Dee takes control. Adam races after the fleeing Jimmy and Rugby tackles him to the ground. But Jimmy is up and running again like a headless chicken.
Jimmy, come back.
Wedding's over.
Dee Dee is still glowering at everyone to stay put inside.
Tell everyone to go home.
Jimmy.
It's over, I'm calling it off.
We were up all night, you're exhausted, that's all. Look, this is your wedding day. Don't do something you're gonna regret the rest of your life.
Holly sneaks out to try and help.
Look, there's a lot of pressure put on this one day. I mean, the groom's supposed to be nervous.
You're gonna feel 100% better after the ceremony.
I lied to her and everybody about you.
Well, come clean, tell her the truth. She'll hate me.
No, she won't hate you. She'll be upset. She has reason to be upset, but she won't hate you. She loves you.
And you love her. I mean, you said she's changed your life.
Yeah, he's right.
I'm right.
Last night you talked me out of getting married, and now you're talking me back into it.
What did you say to him last night?
I didn't say anything last night. We were just talking. We were out late.
You said, once I take that vow, she has all the power.
Holly gasps.
Oh. Excuse me.
I'll be right back. Don't you move.
Holly storms off to the car, and Adam tries to follow. Meanwhile, inside the church, everyone is still too scared to move.
Honey, wait.
Did you really say that to him?
No, of course not. Well, I mean, not those words exactly.
Those words exactly?
You stay out of this.
It's one thing that you disrupt every wedding you go to, but to actually talk him out of getting married?
I did not talk him out of it. He has just got the jitters.
Adam, you don't know these people. This is a business transaction for you. How dare you ruin their lives?
All I meant was that when you get married, you give up your rights. You know, you give in, you compromise, or whatever, you know.
Adam can't believe he just said that. Holly can't either.
This whole thing's a misunderstanding.
I'm leaving, Adam. I'm taking that rental car and I'm leaving.
Honey, wait. You are getting married.
Inside, Wally tries to lighten the mood.
Oh, hey, Mary Ellen. How's your mom?
You try and make me get married, the deal's off.
Fine. The deal's off. As of this moment, I release you from buying Creature Corner. But you are getting married. Jimmy, you are not leaving that woman stranded.
Holly drives past and away up the road.
Jimmy, lend me the keys to your truck. Don't pop the clutch. Don't start the ceremony till I get back. Adam!
You'd really be my best man? I mean, without the money or anything?
Yeah, Jimmy, I would.
Adam smiles warmly, while inside the church.
Hey, Grandpa, have any advice for riding your room?
No.
Lester suddenly appears with a shotgun. He grabs a hostage.
Drop it! Drop it now!
No, you drop it!
One of the policemen has a gun on him.
Wait!
You're not fooling anybody!
Lester fires in the air.
I mean it! Drop him!
They drop the gun and everyone freezes.
Get out! Not there!
Where?
Over there! Over there!
The veterans play Glenn Miller's Over There as a request.
Stop it! Stop that!
Adam and Jimmy run into the church.
Dee Dee, I'm sorry it has to be this way. I didn't mean it to be this way. But you wouldn't answer my phone calls. You refused to see me. I had to do something. Dee Dee, ever since you left me, my life's been a living hell.
Dee Dee seems to be softening.
I can't go through a single day without thinking of you. Thinking
how it might have been. Oh, it's coming. ZD, all I'm trying to tell you is that I'm ready.
Ready for what?
To get married.
To who?
To you. Are you nuts?
I can't go through life without you, Dee Dee.
Give me the gun, Lester.
Stay where you are.
Give me the gun.
I'm warning you.
Look, Lester, I know what you're going through.
This has nothing to do with you.
3 years ago, I was stood up at my own wedding.
I'm not talking to you.
Look at this. She didn't have the guts to tell me to my face. She sent her best friend, the maid of honor, with a note.
I don't care. I can't solve your problems.
Look, Lester, you have to let go and move on.
I try to go on. I can't.
I know. Believe me, I know. I didn't think it was possible to be that sad. You get so depressed you can't even lift your head up off the pillow.
Adam is facing the gun now.
But Lester, I'm telling you something. You have no one to blame but yourself. You're the one who couldn't commit to her.
Lester breaks down sobbing, and Adam closes in.
Let it go.
Adam puts his hand on Lester's shoulder and then the gun. Adam fires it accidentally. The police move in and take Lester away as everyone congratulates Adam, the hero. Kara's note falls to the floor, forgotten, a thing of the past. Adam drives into town in Jimmy's car, which is brightly decorated for the honeymoon in foam and ribbons. He pulls up at the shop and goes in to buy the solitaire ring in the window that he had seen the day before. Back at the church, the people are yawning and stretching, but enduring the long wait with patience. As the shopkeeper methodically writes out a receipt, Adam scratches the ring across the glass counter and looks amazed.
It's real.
Adam races the car through the dusty country roads to Jimmy's house and passes a lone tractor which sees the just married message on the car. Holly has her bags packed and is carrying them to the car as Adam runs across the lawn to catch her.
Holly, wait.
Just because you can't get on with your life doesn't give you the right to stop other people from getting on with theirs.
You don't know what it's like to be rejected like that.
Yes, I do.
She walked out on me.
Then why didn't you go after her?
I'm going after you.
She is suddenly subdued.
I'm asking you. Will you marry me?
He offers her the ring, and she looks confused and undecided.
I don't know, Adam. I don't know if you're asking for the right reason.
Holly, I'm asking you because I cannot even imagine my life without you.
Later, in the church, the wedding is underway and the smiling Jimmy stands relaxed at the altar with Adam beside him.
We are gathered here today, before God, to witness the bonding of these two souls in holy matrimony again. Jimmy, do you take Dee Dee to be your lawfully wedded wife, to have and to hold, for richer and for poorer, and to cherish in sickness and in health, till death do you part?
I do.
Adam answers by mistake.
Oh, I'm sorry, go on.
Jimmy?
I will.
I do.
And Dee Dee, do you take Jimmy to be your lawfully wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, till death do you part?
I do.
By the power invested in me by the state of Indiana, I now pronounce you husband and wife. You may now kiss the bride.
They kiss, and everyone finally relaxes. It has been an ordeal for one and all, and Wally chokes back the tears. The partying starts, and drinks are handed out.
Hey!
There's the best man. Why don't you come up here and make us a toast?
Jimmy and Dee Dee. Mr. Nichols? Dad? Under the circumstances, I think the groom should make the toast. To my best man. For saving the day.
The two men smile warmly in a new bond of mutual understanding and respect. Adam and Holly creep outside to celebrate Adam's newfound freedom of expression and kiss passionately in the sunlight, a reflection of the long and bright days ahead of them. The end.
Thank you.